following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 5th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, we weren't here last week, and Ken visited his 93-year-old mother and 95-year-old aunt. And his mother is Mary Norton, and his aunt is Aunt Joan, and had a wonderful visit. And welcome back, Ken. We had a little bit of a break. And I'm so happy to have joining me in the studio is Laura Lopez Ledesma, who's the Associate Director for Comna Vida, a volunteer immigrant defense action organization, and we'll be talking about their program along with some of the challenges that we are facing in our community around immigration. I just want to let you know the mission of this wonderful program. The mission of the Volunteer Immigrant Defense Action Committee is, which means, Comna Vida means life committee. I just love that. I mean, the committee for life, to keep life sustained. And their mission is to educate and mobilize residents of Sonoma County about legal and social justice issues affecting the lives of immigrants and our entire community for positive action. And I really think this is a very important issue that we have to pay attention to. And I want to do a little shout out for our sheriff, Mark Essex. You know, we always have all kinds of negative things to talk about people, but on July 26th, which happened to be Ken's birthday. On July 26th, Sonoma County Sheriff Mark Essex at the Grayton Resort and Casino, where several thousand Latino residents gathered for the casino monthly Latin dance night, let those in attendance know that the deputies will not be reporting undocumented immigrants to federal immigration agents for minor offenses or alerting authorities of crimes. And we're going to talk a little bit with that with Laura also, because I want to verify, I want to find out exactly what is happening. And, you know, Essex made a comment, and it's according to an article that I found in the Press Democrat. And I think it's very important that we do a shout out. Two reasons. One, that we make it public. We really make it public what our sheriff said. And Sheriff Essex said this: we want people in the Latino community to not be afraid to report things to police, Essex said in an interview early that day. The message reflects the sheriff's office policy since at least 2017 and state laws that limits how California police agencies cooperate with federal immigration authorities. And when I read that article, I was so grateful that we were having this interview with Laura, because I can verify what is said, what is being said in the papers, to make sure that this is actually true. Well, you know, I'm going to make a public statement here, and that is, I am proud. And I mean very proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. And one of the things that I love about our country is the fact that we have a First Amendment. That means that we have the right to freedom of speech. Of course, we can't go into a theater and scream fire. We don't have that kind of freedom. But we have the freedom to express ourselves and also we have the freedom to protest against our government. Well, the reason I'm saying this is because I was watching our President Trump's, he had a rally for his upcoming election in 2020. And, you know, that was the rally where they had all the people saying, send them back, which was really, to me, was such an insult as a woman to hear them say that about these four young women who were voted by their constituents in their districts to represent them in the United States Congress. And to put that kind of issue on them was really very disheartening to me. And I also noticed they were doing a scanning around, you know, with the crowd, and all of a sudden they came in on this woman. She must have been in her late 40s, maybe early 50s, the kind of the heavyset, buxom woman, and she was wearing this T-shirt. Now, remember, I support the First Amendment 1,000,000%, not 100%, not 1,000%, but 1,000,000% that we have the right to express ourselves. And what she had on her T-shirt was, you can grab my P-U, you know the word, ladies, I don't have to say it, Mr. President, anytime. I was stunned when I saw that. I was absolutely stunned. Now, I want to go back again to what I said. I absolutely support the First Amendment. This woman has the right to say whatever she wants to say. But she's still a woman. 2020, we are coming up with 100 years since we got the vote. Everything's on the line for us, whether we can make choice. I mean, they're going to challenge Roe versus Wade. All the things that we have made strides with is on the line. And I want to read something to you. I want to remind women out there how fortunate we are that we are standing on the shoulders of some great women that did some great things so we could have liberation, so we could have the right to vote. We could have the right to our own children. So I'm going to read this. This is from the 1800s. This is before women got the right to vote. Listen very carefully. And I'm reading from a book, Growing Up Female in America, 10 Lives. And it's an accumulation of several authors. And this is in the introduction. Women, like children, in the adage, were not to be heard. They were considered minors in every respect. Not only were women lumped with children and idiots as being unsuited to vote, they were held to be inferior beings physically. Though for most, just listen to this, for most of us go through that strenuous labor that most men could not even tolerate. And inferior mentally. Generally, listen to this, women had to generally attend the dame and dumb schools. Listen to this one. The law prohibited their owning property, owning the wages they earned, even owning custody of the children they bore. Among other technical niceties, listen to this one, ladies. A husband was allowed to punish his wife for disobedience, provided he did not use a stick thicker than the judge's thumb. Well, here we are in 2019, and we have rights as women. We just elected several women into the United States Congress. What a major, major accomplishment. So although I support this woman and her right to her free speech, what I would like to encourage the listeners out here, and do it gently and kindly, if you do see a woman that's wearing that type of T-shirt, anything negative and derogatory against herself, remind her. You know that saying, make America great, that we hear a lot? Well, there are some men out there that thinking making America great is going to put women in the place that I read just a few seconds ago. So we have to really be careful about what we say and how we present ourselves and how we support ourselves and how we support each other. You know, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. As women, we not only bring the children into the world, but we raise them. And we have to raise them to have compassion, empathy, and understanding, along with understanding what it took for us to get where we've got. And a friendly reminder, when it came to getting the vote in 1920, we only got it by one vote. And that was a mother sending a telegram to her son and saying, you better vote for women to get the vote, or please don't come home. That's what it took for us to get the vote. One vote. So you can see there was not this big say, oh, yeah, let's give them the vote. No, before they even got the vote, we were put in jail and waterboarded. So we have to remember that. And to that woman who put that on her T-shirt, please think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying about yourself. You're degrading yourself. You're degrading yourself. Anyway, that's a lot to think about, but, you know, that's what Women's Space is all about. I want to get my listeners out there, especially my women listeners out there, to start thinking and start being proud of who they are as women and also acknowledging the strides that we've made since 1920. I mean, can you believe it? At one time, our children, we couldn't even have custody of our children. That means if you got divorced, automatically went to the man. I mean, the thing, we've come a long way, baby, and hopefully we can stay on that road. Anyway, lots to think about. Well, I have a few announcements to make, you know, and first of all, some major accomplishments by women. On August 6, 1965, the Voting Rights Act outlaws the discriminatory literacy test that had been used to prevent African Americans from voting. Suffrage finally fully extended African American women the right to vote. And that took up until 1965. So you can see how wonderful everybody's saying, oh, yeah, women are going to vote here. Women of color had to struggle to get their vote, and it wasn't until 1965. And let's praise President Lyndon B. Johnson for signing the Voting Act's right. Also on October 8, 1969, this is really interesting, Executive Order 11478 issued by President Nixon requires each federal department and agency to establish and maintain an affirmative action program of equal employment opportunity for civilian employees and applicants. Amazing. That means there were more women of color, more minorities that were able to work for government because of affirmative action. And look at how hard they fight to get rid of it. You know what affirmative action is? If human beings were capable of just automatically coming from their heart and just not discriminating against anybody, we wouldn't have to have these laws. But, you know, we have these weaknesses. That's what regulations are about. Regulations are to make sure, not to bond us or to inhibit us, but to make sure that we're following the right track, that we have equal opportunity for all people. And then another interesting thing happened, you know, that I thought is in August 10th is a celebration for all, I mean, we should all be celebrating. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was sworn in as the second woman on the United States Supreme Court. Wow, lots to think about and lots to be proud of. And, you know, 2020 is going to be, here we are, August already. One more year and we will be celebrating 100 years since we got the vote. And, you know, there's a lot of things we have to look at as women, because initially we thought when we got the vote, number one, we could put more women in office, which is finally happening. But the most important thing was we thought we were going to end all wars. Once women had a voice, we were going to say enough is enough. Our children were going to get a better education. We were going to have health care. All the things that we were dreaming we would be able to bring forward. Still, it's still a struggle. And we have to ask ourselves a question. We have to ask ourselves this question. And, you know, I am not by any chance a woman who does not appreciate and love men. I have a wonderful, wonderful partner, you know, wonderful, wonderful male friends. Yeah, you know, I love it when, you know, when I was brought up Jewish, when people would say, some of my best friends are Jewish. Well, I'm going to say some of my best friends are men. You know, I have to say it. But there are some men out there, I don't know what they're thinking. They want to control our bodies. You know, next thing they're going to tell us that we can't have property rights. You know, before you know it, they're going to go back. That's what makes America great again, when women are barefoot and pregnant. No more choices. You know, they're unhappy. You know, the birth rate is going down. You know why the birth rate is going down? Because we have choices and we're asking ourselves the question, can we raise this child? Can we take care of this child? Which is the most important thing you can ask. You just bring a kid into the world and you can't feed him? You can't educate them? Uh-uh. Women have to make that choice for themselves. You know, I made a choice. I'm a great grandmother. I made other choices in my life. But the most important thing is that we have to have choice and that we have to take care of our environment. So I want to make a special announcement for my dear friends at Daily Axe. There's going to be tonight, Monday, August 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Sebastopol Grange, 6000 Sebastopol Avenue in Sebastopol. They're asking for a $12 donation, and it's called Safe Agriculture for Children, and they're going to start talking about the different pesticides that are being sprayed around the schools and in the gyms and the yards that the kids are playing with. So it's very, very important. They're going to have some experts talking, and the title is going to be of the they're going to discuss the book The Fight Against Monsanto Roundup, The Politics of Pesticides. And it's so interesting to me. We've got one in three children in Sonoma County alone that are suffering from cancer because of these darn pesticides. It's been over 60 years since Rachel Carson wrote Silent Spring. I mean, when do we wake up and listen to these things? So I really encourage you to attend the meeting tonight. That's Monday tonight, August 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Sebastopol Grange. And the topic is going to be the fight against Monsanto's Roundup, the politics of pesticides. Michael Cohen is going to be there. He's a green activist. And Robin T. Falk, Esther's PhD, is also a activist. And they're going to inform the public of some of the things that they can actually do. And also a reminder that the Sonoma County Gazette is now on the streets, and also the Peace and Justice Center Peace Press letter is out. And then on August the 12th, Monday, August the 12th, there's going to be a special. This is really exciting, at the Peace and Justice Center, 467 Sebastopol Avenue. And it's going to be Michael Cohen, Sally Hatch, and Dennis Bernstein from KPFA. They're all going to be having a conversation, immigration, horrors, Monsanto, and what we need to do about it. And that's going to be at the Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. And that's going to be next Monday, August the 12th. And then one last thing I want to remind people, and I'll have more information about it, but on Sunday, August 25th, from 12 to 4 o'clock, we're going to be having the new Petaluma Progressive Festival, which has been taken over, or I should say, is now being organized by Indivisible Petaluma. And this is going to be their 22nd annual Progressive Festival. Ken and I will be there. Women's Spaces will be there. KBBF will be there. And I'll tell you something, it's something that nobody wants to miss. Well, there's a lot going on, a lot of things to think about, and a lot of things to recognize. I'll tell you, I'm gonna make one last comment. My heart and my condolences go out to all those people that were affected in El Paso, Texas, and also at the Gilray Garlic Festival. You know, a young boy, 6 years old, was shot. I mean, two young children. I mean, for God's sakes, what is going on in our world? You know, why is there so much hate for one another? You know, both times these were young men who were shooters. First of all, they're under 25, which to me is mind-boggling. They all wrote manifestos, which says they're part of what they're coining now, white supremacist groups. And what they said is the reason they did this is because they're tired of intermarriages between races. Hey, wait a minute. You know, intermarriage between races. You know, what is race? You know, I mean, the only difference between one human being and another human being is the color of their skin, or maybe if you're Japanese, the slant in your eyes, or, you know, all the different things, the different features we have. You know, if you're Jewish, you know, they claim you have a big nose. You know, everybody's got their thing, so to speak. But the bottom line, if you strip our skin from us and you look inside, we're all the same. We have hearts, livers, you know, we live, we're all born, we all die. You know, what is this thing you're tired of interrelations? I mean, the fact that we can have children together, that one human being can mate with another human being, doesn't that say something to us? That we are one in consciousness, we are one, we're physically the same, we all need water, we all need air, we all need sunshine. And think about all these families. Ken and I were talking this morning, I mean, even if let's say they had three people, for those 20 people, just three people in their family, that'd be 60 people right there, plus all their friends. You know, I remember when young Andy Lopez was shot here in Sonoma County. One person, a whole community was devastated. Multiply that by what, 20? And then more people. I think there were 3 shootings this weekend. I mean, what is going on? You know, we have to ask ourselves. You know, we really have to ask ourselves. And, you know, I'm going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is an old Bob Dylan song. And it's sung by, of all people, Odetta. I mean, I just think Odetta, I mean, she's just the most, as far as I'm concerned, whenever she sings and expresses something, she really lets you know what it's all about. The song is called With God on Our Side. And the reason that I chose it is because all of a sudden, all these people are being chosen by God. You know, the president's been chosen by God. All these people are being elected. They're all God-centered. They're all calling themselves good Christians. You know, they're all going to save the fetus. And I say to myself, wait a minute. If you're all good Christians, why do we have wars? Why are we killing each other? Why are you cutting food stamps? Why are you threatening Medicare? Why are you not educating people? Why are you taking people away from their children on the borders? I mean, is this the God that you believe in? Is that I believe in the God of love, compassion, empathy. But, you know, Bob Dylan, he took his pen and he wrote this very clever song. It's a long one. It's about 5 minutes, but I want you to listen to every word. You know, that's why I know a lot of shows don't play the whole song. I play the whole song because that song has a message, and I want you to hear the message. So let's go ahead and listen to With God on Our Side, sung by Odetta. And when we return, I'm going to be talking with a wonderful, wonderful young woman that's sitting here in the studio with me by the name of Laura Lopez Ledesma, and she's from Comunidad Vida, which means life committee, and she's going to be talking all about immigration and some of the wonderful things that are going on here in our community. And I got to tell you something, I am proud of Sonoma County. So here we go, With God on Our Side, by sung by Odetta.
Oh, my name, it means nothing. My age, it means less. Country I come from is called the Midwest. I was brought up and taught there the laws to abide. The land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it. They tell it so well. The Calvary's charm. Indians fell. The Calvary's charge. The Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on its side. Oh, the First World War, it closed at its fate. The reason for fighting I never got straight, but I learned to accept it. Accept it with pride. Oh, you don't count the dead when God's on your side. When the Second World War an end. We forgave the Germans, and we were friends. Though they killed 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. But now we got weapons of the chemical dust. If fire them we're forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and a shot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side. Oh, my name, it means nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was brought up and taught there the laws to abide. The land that I live in has God on its side. And the land that I live in has God on its side.
Oh, my goodness. Never ask questions with God on your side. Oh, don't you dare silence anybody. Remember, we have the First Amendment, freedom of speech. Never say never ask questions. Well, welcome back. For you just joining, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio is Laura Lopez. Pronounce your last name, Laura.
Ledesma.
Ledesma. She's the Associate Director of
Vidas Legal Services, and that's the legal component. And we have the Community Advocacy Comité Vida.
And that's a volunteer immigrant defense action organization, and we'll be talking about their program along with some of the challenges that are facing our community around immigration. Well, Laura, welcome, my friend. Welcome. You got quite an earful at the beginning. You were taking notes, and I really appreciate that. You know, because we did this interview so quickly, we didn't have a chance to get a bio about you, so I can't introduce you formally. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your education, where you were born, and above all, how did you get involved in immigration, and what is the passion behind it for you?
So I was born in Mexico. I came undocumented with my mom, and we grew up in Napa. Or I grew up in Napa, and my mom spent the rest of her adult life, and she's here still in the county. And I got involved with immigration law at a very young age. My parents themselves were in deportation proceedings. And this particular remedy that has allowed them to now become citizens, but not me, is something that came about in the 1996 reform under President Clinton. So my parents, they fought their case, they won, but they were in these deportation proceedings for years. I come to graduate high school. I move on to Santa Cruz, and I graduated there in 2009. I worked in Napa with Citizenship Legal Services, went on to law school where I graduated from Penn State in 2017. Since then, I've been working in both Napa County and Sonoma County with Vidas Legal Services.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So your parents came in from Mexico, went through all this trauma and drama to become citizens, and they did become citizens. And then here you are, their daughter, and you have achieved these amazing things.
And I'm still undocumented. I do have the benefit of the program Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals that allows me a work permit. But when my parents got their green card, they petitioned for me. But we're working in a system that has visas per country, but not enough visas to get people those immigrant permanent resident status. And so I'm still in that limbo, just waiting for my turn at a green card, waiting for my turn to become a citizen. Still waiting, but nonetheless, during this time in college, I started understanding that I too have protections under the Constitution. I have the right to assemble, petition the government, freedom of speech, and since then I've been doing community work to organize, to pass legislations, to pass local ordinances, state legislation, national legislation, to really help our community.
Well, I have to say, my hat goes off to you. I mean, I'm not always this impressed, and I really am, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank Margaret for making it possible for you to be here to do the interview. Well, with all that's happening, you know, one of the things, there it's such a mixed bag. You hear people say, well, it's not happening to me, you know, and someone else, well, my best friend is. So you have a mixed bag. Why do you think, what is important? What is so important? One of the things, like the children at the borders, for example, one of the positions that I take is that what happens to one mother's child can happen to any mother's child. Therefore, you cannot let it happen. You can't let one mother's child be shot and thinking, God forbid, it's not going to happen to yours, or had to be pulled away from you. Well, I mean, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. So why do you think it's important that people know about this and why people come out and become involved? I mean, from your perspective.
I think that it's often complicated to say, oh, well, all of these actions are leading up to events such as the Holocaust. But really, we are looking at an issue where I may not wear on my forehead or an armband that indicates that I'm undocumented, but we are in a community where undocumented people, residents, citizens, people who have no status, some kind of status, we are in the community. So whether you think that there's no one in your life that is affected, well, think again. We are in the community right now. And it's very important to know that they might come from one group today, another tomorrow, and it might be you that is going to be affected by what this administration is doing.
Well, also, I want to throw something in here. I'm only a first-generation American on my father's side. My father was came to California from Poland. Actually went from Boston to California. Poland, Boston, and California. My grandmother actually came here twice. The first time she came just to see, well, what was America like, right? Then she didn't like it here, so she went back, and then World War I broke out, an intense persecution against the Jews, and they had to escape. So my grandmother did not come here because, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to leave my home and my country and all my friends. No, she was leaving terrified from terrorists that were killing. In fact, when my other grandmother, who came from Russia, they lived in what is known as shtetls, and they actually used to lay the children on the street and kill them and say, leave, Jews, leave. So I understand that whole thing around immigration, that you're not here because, oh, God, I just can't wait to get to this other country. Most people migrate because they're leaving oppression. They're leaving terrorists. So people need to be aware of that. Why do you think people should be aware of that? And why do you think they should be more involved?
People need to understand that there are these push factors, which is what you're speaking to, that the United States has had a hand in destabilizing the countries that are pushing people to come to this country. And so we have indirectly or directly a hand in forcing people to leave their homes, and we need to have this be a welcoming home. Then, if we are contributing to those people leaving their countries, definitely not by choice, but by things like warfare or aggravated situations because of climate change that, of course, the United States has a big footprint in.
Drought.
All of this foments the need to leave to survive. And I think it's very important that we reach into our own humanity and remember that, yes, they might not look like us, Or they may look like us, but at the end, like you said, we are all human beings. Underneath that layer of skin, we're all human beings that are deserving of human rights and respect and dignity.
I know, it's so simple. I mean, it really is a simple concept, you know. And you know, we went to Germany. You know, this whole thing was that's why I chose the song with God on our side. This whole thing about God being the chosen. This is the chosen one. This is doing this one, and you know, God sent them. Therefore, they should be punished at the border. I mean, I don't understand what's going on, but the whole idea is to recognize that if we're going to say God, and in our money we say in God our trust, what God are we looking at? I mean, what God would be telling us to do these things? And you mentioned something at the beginning. You said it's kind of like a Holocaust. Well, if you read history, and I encourage people, you know, on especially go on YouTube. I mean, you can see so much history. It can overwhelm you. But when you go on to YouTube or you read some of the history books, you realize the Holocaust didn't start in one day. It was a series of events. You know, you said, you know, okay, they don't have a patch. The Jews had to wear a Jewish star. But with when you're coming from another country, your skin is your patch, because most of them are people of color. So you can put an opinion, or you can put a judgment on it. But we have to be careful, because those things happen. Holocausts happen very slowly. They kind of come upon us, and before you know it, we wake up one morning and we say, "How did that happen? You know, how did I get here?" And how we got here is nobody paying attention. Well, I know your program is paying attention. So talk about the program, Kona. I pronounce it. I am so sorry. I do not speak Spanish. But how do you pronounce it? C-O-M-I-T-E. Vida. How would you pronounce it?
Comité Vida.
Okay, it is a volunteer immigrant defense action organization. What do they offer, and why do you believe it's important to our community?
Well, all of our communities are generally working class people, and we have a vested interest in really taking the First Amendment to the forefront, and really, as I mentioned earlier, assemble and petition the government. And so it's very important to receive legal services, but also advocate to make those policy changes that are going to really support the community. And so what Comité Vida does is, for example, the most recent campaign is to divest the Board of Supervisors' investment in the detention camps where these children are being held. And so one of the things that Comité Vida does is show up to the Board of Supervisor meetings, demand that they utilize the power that they have to take away the funds that are our community's funds that are contributing to these human rights violations of these youth. So one of the calls today, for example, would be to have the Board of Supervisors, Shirley Sane and Susan Gorin, give them a call and say, don't delay, divest from the detention camps. It's a simple message, but it really is going to affect the lives of these children who are there day in and day out until we close these camps. And so divestment is one of the steps that Comité Vida is calling for.
How come there's three women on there?
Oh, yes, but these are the two folks that we need the extra push for.
Oh, so Shirley and Susan Gorin.
Yeah, so the message there is They're doing good work, but don't delay. Don't delay another day.
Well, I hope they don't. I know Susan just became a grandmother. You know, I mean, there's, you know, just think of those grandmothers with their children. I mean, it's hard to believe. Let me read the mission of your organization. I was really impressed by it. To educate and mobilize residents of Sonoma County about legal and social justice issues affecting the lives of immigrants and our entire community for positive action. So what you're really asking for is the community to participate. What you heard me read what Sheriff Essex said. How is that? I mean, I hope that you can verify that he is being, because that was part. I interviewed him actually when he was running for sheriff, and that was one of the things that he promised. So what is happening? Is that true?
So we have two laws. One of them is the Trust Act, and one of them is the Truth Act. So these legislations come about because ICE was sending letters to our sheriffs, to our local jails, and saying, hold that person, they're an immigrant. So even though that person may have cleared the criminal case, they're still being held there to be deported. And that's the only thing they're being held for. So there's this movement to stop that entanglement that was happening between ICE and the local law enforcement and say, okay, we need to put a limit to this. And that's what the Trust Act does. The Truth Act has the arm where there's meaningful public enforcement and oversight of the Trust Act. So one of the things that can be done is public forums. So in this case, the sheriff took the public forum, this joyous space, dancing and all, and really took advantage of that to say, okay, we are going to be transparent. We are saying that we're not violating the Trust Act. We are complying through it, through the Truth Act. But there's still a lot of work that does need to get done. That accountability is not just the presentations, but attending any of the meetings, informing Comité Vida, for example, or Rapid Response that there is an issue. Maybe a person shouldn't have been detained because it is a limit, not an eradication of that entanglement. So it's very important for the community to really do their part to make sure that we are enforcing what these acts are supposed to do.
Well, it sounds like the sheriff is open to it, mm-hmm. Because he did come. I mean, we have to give him that.
Yes.
He did come. But the other thing is, in order to make sure that he lives by his word, the community has to be pushing to make sure they have to be aware mm-hmm. of what is happening. And so by supporting or understanding your group, they can actually do that. And I think that's important because when we start looking at it, if you start looking at your history, we're all immigrants. I mean, we're all actually came to this country from many, many, many different countries, I mean, it's just amazing to me. It actually is.
And the government can't always do oversight of itself, so it's up to us as the community to have that oversight of our government.
Well, one of the things I think that's happened is we are so lazy. We're so used to having democracy that we think, oh, well, it's just going to happen. You don't realize that you have to stay on top of it. You have to be aware. You have to work for a group. I love this also. You have another thing. I love your vision. I share this vision. That is absolutely one of the best visions I read in a while. We foresee a community where human rights are respected and everyone, we should put a capital E there, everyone, regardless of ethnicity, is treated with equality and dignity. I mean, there's an old saying, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's that simple, Christ said it. I mean, when we talk about God and the Christianity, love your neighbor as yourself. When you say love your neighbor as yourself, you would not want your own child to be taken care of, taken away from you. Why should you want your neighbor to be taken away from you? So it's that simple. Well, you mentioned a Rapid Response. I think it's an important program. Can you just talk a little bit about that? And then after we have Rapid Response, I have a little surprise. I can't believe it. I went to this rally, and there was a song they were singing, Children Must Be Free. And it was singing to the tune of We Shall Overcome. I can't believe it that I went and picked We Shall Overcome, sung by Mahalia Jackson, without even realizing it. I mean, maybe I'm a little psychic and I don't even realize it, but we're going to play that song. But before we take that break, go ahead and talk a little bit about Rapid Response.
Yeah, so Rapid Response is another volunteer-supported network of our community members. So if your listeners want to take down a pen, pencil, open up their contact on their cell phone, I'll give the phone number. I'll say it once now and then repeat it. So it's area 707-800-800. 4544. And this is a 24-hour hotline, and it serves a few purposes. One of them is, if you believe that ICE is out in the community, rather than posting it on Facebook and scaring the community without confirming, you can call this hotline, and volunteer observers will go and check it out. They'll see, okay, maybe it's just a white, unmarked van and nothing to it. Or, yes, ICE is present in our community at this intersection at this time. And they will also inform when ICE is out of the community, because it's very important that, yes, alert the community. We must be careful and support each other, but also when that threat is gone. Because otherwise this fear can linger on for the rest of the day, the rest of the weekend, into the week. And so it's very important that we do utilize this hotline to verify before posting anything online. But in addition to that, if ICE has come to your home or outside the market, these legal observers will be able to take notes, not interfere with what it's happening per se, but take notes to make sure that your rights are respected. So, for example, if they have entered into the home without a warrant, we can take those as notes, and that can be provided to the legal services teams that would be taking on these cases. So VIDAS Legal Services, for example, could respond if somebody is detained, take those notes, and maybe close the case, because if there were violations to your Fourth Amendment rights, that could be something that could terminate your case. And that's very important to know that this is a collaborative, right? It's the legal observers confirming or denying whether there's ICE in the community. If they're there, what is ICE doing? And if our community member is taken away, know that the community is there to support you by doing advocacy, supporting you by accompanying you to immigration court, providing attorneys. And one of the great things that Sonoma County has been doing is a Secure Families Fund. So in a collaborative, we have VIDAS Legal Services, we have Catholic Charities of Sonoma County, and the University of San Francisco's Immigration Clinic. It's a team of attorneys that are helping our Sonoma County residents if they are detained by immigration. So it's a whole network.
Give that phone number again.
Yes, so it's area 707-800-4544.
Well, you know, I believe everything's a blessing. And as horrible as this is, the blessing I see is the community coming together. I really see that so strongly by these programs and also by the big V, volunteer, that people are giving their time and their energy. So a shout out to all those beautiful people who are doing that. Well, we're going to do something. This is very spontaneous, Laura, so I'm going to direct you. You know, I'm the producer, so I'm a director. But I picked We Shall Overcome, and this Children Must Be Free. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read four lines, and I'm going to have Laura read four lines, and then I'm going to read the last four lines, and then we're going to play the song, Ken, okay? So here we go. And this is, remember, we're going to play We Shall Overcome, but this is how this song is supposed to be done, but I'm just going to read it as a poem. Children, here it is. Children must be free. And this is for all the children. All children in the whole world, the whole hemisphere. Children must be free. Children must be free. Children must be free today. Deep in our hearts, we know it's true. Children must be free today.
Closed detention camps. Closed detention camps. Closed detention camps today. Prisons and cages are no place for kids. Children must be free today.
Welcome, refugees. Unite all families. Closed detention camps today. Deep in our heart, we know it's true. Children must be free today. Here we go with We Shall Overcome, sung by Mahalia Jackson.
We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome the Lord one day. Yeah. If in our heart we do believe, Lord, Lord, one day, we shall all have peace one day. We shall all have peace one day. We shall all have peace, Lord, Lord, one day.
Oh, we shall all have peace, Lord, one day. We shall all be free, one day, Lord. We shall all be free, one day, Lord. We shall all be free, Lord, one day, Lord, Lord, if it of our heart, yes, I do believe, Lord, we
deep in our hearts, we know it's true. Children must be free today. Wow, wonderful song that Mahalia Jackson. I just love her. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And I'm continuing my conversation with Laura Lopez. Ledesma, right? Oh,
perfect.
Boy,
design.
I got it. Who's the associate director of a local program, Coma Vida, a volunteer immigrant defense action organization. And thank you so much, Laura. You're just a wonderful, wonderful guest. You know, this is the final part of our show right now. This is our final segment. So talk a little bit. I know that right now there's a special identification that comes in from Mexico that's accepted. Can you explain it? Tell us what it's called and why that's important and why that is helping the immigrant population today.
Definitely. So the country of Mexico, when you go to their consulate out in San Francisco, they can issue you an identification card, the matricula or the matriculate. And so it's important because if you are stopped on the street, you've committed an infraction, and the police want to issue you a citation, they need an identification. Now, if they don't have one, they may take you into their custody. And so that brings on a whole slew of issues. And particularly, we had issues where if somebody was driving without a driver's license, not only could their car be impounded, for example, but the person could be detained as well. And that brought on immigration issues where you might not have committed even something rising to the level of a misdemeanor, nonviolent crime, but you couldn't be issued a citation without this identification. So it was very important to have this recognized as a legitimate form of ID. Now we have come a long way now. We have the law AB 60 that allows undocumented people to get a driver's license. We used to have driver's licenses before Governor Gray Davis, then took them away. Governor Schwarzenegger refused to pass this legislation until Governor Brown signed it into law. So now we have access to driver's licenses, which really amount to safety in all of our community because we have folks that are taking their test, passing it, getting insurance. So it really is this community effort starting from the ground, getting these IDs recognized, continuing the advocacy efforts until we get these legislations in place.
So say there's somebody out there that doesn't know about this. How would they get that identification?
So they can call our office to get the contact of the consulate. So you do have to make an appointment. You go out to San Francisco, provide some of the identifying information, so like your birth certificate, and you'll be able to get that ID there. And in addition to that, you can go to your local DMV. Now, if you do have past contact with immigration, it's very important that you do contact an immigration attorney so that you can know whether or not to move forward with applying for a driver's license under the law AB 60.
Well, it sounds like a lot of things have opened up.
Yes.
In ways. I mean, we still need more, but the most important thing, I think, is public participation. So we're at the end of our segment, my friend. So why not go ahead and give us your website? And I think you have some up-and-coming events that are happening. Please feel free. Anything that you feel is important for our listeners to know.
So our VIDAS Legal Services website is under construction. Nonetheless, it's VIDAS, V-I-D-A-S, legal. org, and it's easier to reach us by Facebook. And if you want to be part of the volunteer efforts through Comité Vida, you can Facebook Comité, so C-O-M-I-T-E Vida, V-I-D-A, and so Comité Vida. And one of the efforts that you can join us in is we meet once a month, And so you can give us a call to know where we're meeting. Usually we meet in our headquarters office off of Bay Street, but give us a call at 707-523-1740. Again, that's 707-523-1740.
And just to let all the listeners know that all this will be on the website, Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces. So if you didn't have a pen and pencil on you're writing like crazy, you know, that's fine. Well, thank you so much, Laura. You've been an absolutely wonderful guest. Are there any last words, any last thing that you would like our listeners to know about you or about the organization? And just feel free, whatever you feel is important.
I just want to remind folks that, yes, we may be living in an era of fear, but we have to conquer it so that we can come forward into the loving community that I know that we can harness.
Well, we shall overcome.
We shall overcome.
You know, and you know, we've been overcoming for centuries. And what's wonderful about this century is that we have the communication. And we also have women liberated so they can get educated like yourself and to can articulate the information the way that you gave it to us, which I want to compliment you. I want to say thank you so much. I mean, that's the big difference. Well, I want to say thank you to Laura Lopez Ledesma. Ledesma, who's the Associate Director of Comuna Vita, a volunteer immigrant defense action organization, for being such a great guest. And I want to thank all the folks out there who showed up at the Close the Camps demonstrations. You know, I say it over and over, I think there should have been 10,000 mothers out there. Why do I say that? Because if one mother's child is in jeopardy, I got news for you folks, every mother's child is in jeopardy. We have to remember always that the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. A reminder, you can hear the rerun of Women's Spaces at 11 o'clock tonight on KBBF 89.1 FM. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a fan. And please go on www.kbbf.org, become a sustaining sponsor. You know, support the station. We are your local radio station here in Sonoma County. We go to 18 counties out there. So please go to www.kbbf.org and become a sustainer. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces saying thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life, and a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 5th, 2019.